credits. This is The Last Word on 1070 The Fan, presented by Xfinity. From the Taco Bell studios, here's Jeffrey Corman, Jimmy Mad Dog Matus, and Matt Taylor.
Welcome, everyone, to The Last Word here on 1070 The Fan and 107.5 FM. Jimmy Mad Dog Matus, Matt Taylor, I'm Jeffrey Corman. Jimmy, how are you this afternoon?
I am doing well, raring to go.
You always are. Matt, what's new?
Terrific. Not a lot. Just getting ready for a good weekend.
Absolute great weekend ahead of us. So much happening in the sports world. I need to backtrack a little bit.
Danica
wins the pole and quite a showing. A top 10 finish at Daytona a few days back. Good for her.
She did better than I thought. She really did. Drafted well, ran in packs well, did a nice job.
Yeah, but was on the pole and only led one lap? How does that happen?
Other cars are faster.
Yeah, I guess the first one. Time now for some NFL quick hits.
You know it all starts up front. You know that. That's right. Let's go dominate.
Here you go, fellas. Blitz time. Let's pick it up. Let's gas them now. Let's gas them.
They're going to come after you. Got to make them pay, oh.
Let's get some NFL quick hits.
Kansas City, here I come. The 49ers have agreed to trade quarterback Alex Smith to the Chiefs. Kansas City will trade its second-round pick in the upcoming draft, the second selection in the round, as well as another conditional mid-round pick in 2014 to acquire Smith from the 49ers. As a result, the Chiefs are expected to release former starting quarterback Matt Cassel. At this point, Smith will play under the terms of his remaining contract. It's a good one. It calls for a guaranteed base salary of $8.5 million in 2013. Jimmy?
Kind of surprised me because since Kaepernick presently is cheap, they could have had both those quarterbacks at the price that most teams are playing one quarterback, so I thought they'd keep two. But if you can trade it, get these picks, improve your team, good for both parties.
But for Kansas City, it made sense, though, because reportedly there's not an accomplished quarterback coming out of this year's draft, and we know what Alex Smith is. He threw for 30 touchdowns and only 10 interceptions in his last 26 games going back to 2011. And when the Colts went to play the Chiefs last year, I'm thinking to myself, if they just had a quarterback, they would be a drastically different team because they had Jamal Charles. Hopefully they can get Dwayne Bowe signed for next season. And they had a really good defense. So if they can just get a good signal caller, which I think Smith is, they can have a drastically different record next year, especially under new head coach Andy Reid.
Kansas City had six Pro Bowlers on that team, right? I mean, that's at least a solid nucleus.
And just a few wins to that. Here is former NFL quarterback and ESPN analyst Danny Cannell on both teams benefiting from the trade.
Before Colin Kaepernick stepped in, he was putting up phenomenal numbers, franchise quarterback type numbers. The Chiefs are a team that's desperate for that franchise quarterback. There's nobody out there in the draft that teams are just drooling over. I think this move makes a lot of sense for both sides, and I think it's one that we could see them both sides be happy with.
Quick hit number two. We're moving some money around, boys. Two high-profile quarterbacks did their teams a favor this week. Patriots quarterback Tom Brady. Steelers signal caller Ben Roethlisberger restructured their contracts. Brady's decision to sign a three-year, $27 million contract extension was about the opportunity to help the team win. By the way, he did get a $30 million signing bonus. For Big Ben, third straight year that he's restructured his contract. The new contract doesn't affect the money or length of the deal. Does give Steelers some much-needed cap relief.
This is about winning. And this is a sign that the best of times for the Patriots have come and gone. It was clear in the second half of the AFC Championship game against the Ravens that they were more than a handful of pieces away from getting to where they need to be, and that's the Super Bowl. And on defense, obviously, this restructuring is going to allow some money to be freed up to go sign some good defensive players.
I'm reading everybody saying, what a gamer for the team. What a team guy. Team.
He's not missing out on any dough.
It comes out, you know, they're looking at 3 years. $9 million a year this great quarterback's playing for. Then the $30 million bonus comes out. $57 million over 3 years. That's right on par with the highest quarterback pay in the league. So he didn't do anything. I know they structured and moved the decimals around and stuff, but $30 million guaranteed plopped on your plate.
Not without controversy, though, because every big contract affects everybody else, at least at that position in the National Football League
Flacco.
And other quarterbacks that are negotiating there. So there is some flack over this decision.
Here is Chris Mortensen on Tom Brady not losing out on any money of his new deal.
These guys are not taking pay cuts. Tom Brady did not take a pay cut. In fact, he's going to make, I think, $3 million more in the first 2 years of this new deal than he was under the former. Tom Brady wants Wes Welker back. There's no question about it. And I think that Tom Brady will be very upset if they don't accomplish getting Wes Welker back after he agreed to play ball with the team.
Quick hit number three. Former estranged LSU cornerback Tyrann Mathieu had a good combine here in Indianapolis. He showed he had speed. He has good footwork. But the Honey Badger does not lack anything in terms of confidence. He said this week on NFL Network he believes he could stick in the secondary with Lions wide receiver Calvin Johnson.
Well,
you buying that?
Listen, the kid's had problem, kicked off of the team in LSU, obviously had some marijuana issues off the field, sat out a year. We saw him in rehab. We saw him back. Go, you're given a chance. You're given a great golden ticket at the combine. Do me a favor. And the kid's a great player. Don't get me wrong. But just shut up. Just shut up. Show up and shut up and zip it.
I agree. I think it's time for a little humility from this guy as he still has to take care of some damage control. That being said, when he walks between the stripes, he's pretty good.
Yeah, he has very good instincts, no doubt about that. Here's Mathieu on despite his size, thinking he can hang with Calvin Johnson, one of the best in the game.
You know, I feel like, you know, if I was to check somebody like Calvin Johnson, he'll make his plays, and I'm definitely going to get mine, too. And that's my mindset. You know, so he's going to catch his five balls, but I'll get my two turnovers. So, you know, we'll be even.
Here's quick hit number four from the NFL. Bold statement of the week, and we have heard this one before. Titans running back Chris Johnson said yesterday on ESPN that he expects to rush for more yards than Adrian Peterson next year. He also believes he can make a run at Dickerson's all-time single-season rushing record. Dickerson's record of 2,105 yards was set with the Rams in 84. Again, I say this, Chris, be quiet. Just show up. Run. Do what you do great. You don't need to talk about all this stuff in the offseason, which you've done time and time again. Jimmy.
I can see AP saying, I'm going to get Dickerson's record next year. He was very, very close to getting it
done
this
year. What was it, like 6 yards?
Nine yards.
Yeah. So, but Chris Johnson, to make that statement, all right, just say you're pretty good.
Right.
And you'll do the best you can.
Well,
you know,
this story reminds me a couple years ago before the Giants won the Super Bowl. Eli Manning was on a radio station in New York, and the host asked him, do you consider yourself a top five elite quarterback? And Manning said, yeah, I do. If you're a fan of the Giants, that's exactly what you want him to say. If you're Eli Manning, what are you going to say? No, I don't. If he goes the other way with it, fan base would go even more ape, you know what. So, obviously, he's answering a direct question to him. I agree with you, Jimmy. Just say, I'm confident in my abilities, and I'm going to do the best I can in 2013.
Here's my biggest problem with this statement. This statement isn't team-oriented. It's not, we are going to improve as a team if we do some things. It's, I'm going to get mine.
And Chris,
which I think is some of the problems that they've had with the success there.
And he ran for 1,200 yards last year, which is almost 1,000 where he needs to be. And his production has gone nothing but down the last handful of seasons.
The offensive line situation in Tennessee is not great right now. I know we got the draft coming up in free agency.
Well, if he would have said, I think I'm going to do that because my line has really improved and they've been working hard and these guys are going to get the job done next year. If he makes his statement that way, I'm with him. But he didn't. It was all about him.
Here is CJ2106 on being confident he will rush for more yards than Adrian Peterson next year.
I'm very confident. I've always been a confident guy in the situation. If you want something to happen, you got to speak on it. You got to believe in it, and you just got to pray, and God will lead you there. It's just a situation. I know the type of guy I am, the type of bat that I am, and if the situation is right for me, I know I can do it.
That was our NFL Quick Hits here on The Last Word. 1070 The Fan at 107.5. Remember O'Charley's 9 Meals, 1 Price. Introducing the 999er, only at O'Charley's, proud sponsor of your Indianapolis Colts. Coming up, going to talk some college basketball. We've covered the NFL right now. We're going to get that with Matt Norlander, college basketball insider from CBS. Also, we're going to spend some time with Hoosier legend, both at IU and from Jasper High School, Michael Lewis. I want to ask him, Jimmy, about his, does he ever play pig or horse with Brad Stevens, who says that he can still spin it.
I'm sure they both can still spin it, but I think Michael's the man there.
Yeah, he's guy's pretty good. We're going to talk about the big game the Bulldogs have tomorrow against VCU. Plus, we're going to bring you the front office fight Brian Healy going for his third win in a row. We're jam-packed. We're locked and loaded. We're here on 107.5 and 1070 The Fan. Coming back with more of The Last Word right after this.
Welcome back to The Last Word, presented by Xfinity. Once again, from inside the Taco Bell studio, here's Jeffrey Gorman, Jimmy Mad Dog Matus, and Matt Taylor.
Welcome back to The Last Word. Time to talk some college hoops, and we're going to do that with basketball insider for CBSSports.com and the editor of College Hoops Journal. We're talking to Matt Norlander. Matt, thanks for joining us this afternoon. I've got to talk to you about the Big Ten, arguably the best conference in college basketball, with Minnesota upending Indiana the other day and a couple of big games left for Indiana on the schedule. It's definitely going down to the wire. Jimmy, I know you're a big IU fan. You're watching with bated breath. My question to you, Matt, is how many teams from this conference are going to make the dance?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. I appreciate the Rush bump music.
Absolutely.
Big Rush fan.
Attaboy.
Yes, sir.
No doubt about it. But, yeah, as for the Big Ten, it's been a good year, a really good year for the league. I actually don't think it's been quite as good as we thought it would be back in mid-November to late November when you fellows were preoccupied with the pro football. Indiana, Michigan, and Michigan State all have the capability to win the national title, and that's the most important thing because we judge conferences a lot on how they are at the top. I like to really go top to bottom to really judge because they're in the conference. Let's judge all the teams in the conference. And so it's been a good year. The ones at the bottom are pretty bad. In general, though, here's who's going to make it. Indiana, Michigan, Michigan State are going to make it easily. Those three teams will add up to seeds that will be five or less. So you're going to get one number one seed for sure. You could have two number ones and a number two. You could have a one and two number twos. Regardless, all those teams are going to be ones or twos. Then you get into a team like Wisconsin, who has never finished worse than fourth in the Big Ten under Bo Ryan. They're going to make it again easily. Ohio State will be able to get in with some ease. Minnesota locked up its tournament fate by beating Indiana at home. It was probably going to go no matter what, but that was kind of a no doubt about it. Like, that was the win. They could lose out. Not that I think they will, but they could, and they would still make it in. So those are the six no-brainers. Illinois is going to get in, barring losing every game, because it just has too many good wins. I think Illinois gets in with a little room to spare. They won't go to the first four. They'll be in the regular field and have their first game on that Thursday or Friday. But Iowa, too far gone. Purdue hasn't really been good this year. Northwestern has been bad from the start. Nebraska, Penn State, they're all out. So I think it's not going to be much consternation on Selection Sunday for any Big Ten team because Minnesota and Illinois will probably be the two closest ones. I still think like those teams will get, at the worst, probably 10 seeds. Maybe Illinois gets an 11 if it really stumbles down the stretch.
Minnesota, very impressive the other night against IU, but you kind of scratch your head. Where's that effort been most of the year?
Yes, but they are teenagers. I always remind myself we are dealing with teenagers, and they are emotional human beings that do things other than basketball, and sometimes they can be unpredictable. But when you see how they played, and that can be what a home court can do for you in college hoops, though. I mean, the Barn was a pulsating organism on Tuesday night, and it was a lot of fun. It was infectious. Really enjoyed it. But away from home, you know, Minnesota hasn't been quite the same team, although they do have a couple of decent wins, but they've looked listless away from home, certainly. I mean, the Northwestern loss about a month ago was pretty bad. I do have general concerns with teams like Minnesota that have inconsistency, not just in wins and losses, but how they look in those wins and losses. And then when you get to the tournament, see, the tournament, and a lot of fans don't realize this, the tournament is so fun to watch as viewers and to take in, but actually being there, being at these games, at these sites, it is a totally different deal from even the conference tournaments. I mean, it can have a lot of fans there and have some good energy, but it's also got this corporate feel. You have a different kind of travel schedule and a regimen. You're doing things based on when the NCAA says you can practice and you have to do interviews and there are all these podiums. It's just a different kind of prep for games. And so when teams have been inconsistent and throughout the year and maybe not given all sorts of energy and emotion, I just wonder if they can also inject that come tournament time. So I would have concerns about Minnesota in that regard, even though they looked really fantastic in beating Indiana.
Talking more a little bit about that game the other night between Indiana and Minnesota, we've seen in two of IU's four losses this season sort of the same approach. Wisconsin and Minnesota kind of did it the same way by being patient on the offensive end. They milked the shot clock. They grabbed second chance points while limiting IU's possessions. How concerned should Indiana be that that strategy has more or less worked twice already this season?
I don't know if there's a ton of concern, because it's not like Minnesota completely slowed it down the way that, say, Wisconsin loves to do it. It is a little bit of a concern, because obviously Indiana is good when they can run. They are built to run. They are one of the fastest relative teams in regard to points per possession and possessions per game in the country. But I still think losing on the road to a good Minnesota team that's ranked top 25 in almost every metric, KenPom, RPI, whatever you want to look at, Sagarin, that's really not much reason for concern, because they were in it. I mean, it was a close game. Minnesota looked good, but certainly Indiana was in it. And if Zeller had played better, you know, and not fouled out, then maybe they win it. I would probably say that's the one concern, if you want to call it that. Zeller has been awesome this year. He actually has. Now, we had expectations of him to be better than this, but the numbers pan out and show that he's producing at the same level he did last year. You'd like him to be a little more productive in certain moments, and he has had times where he hasn't been clearly as aggressive as he needs to be. So that might be the concern, because there could be a situation where if Indiana's a one seed, they're playing the Sweet 16 against a four that has Minnesota's talent or capability, or is a similar team to Minnesota. And if Zeller plays the kind of game that he did against Minnesota, yeah, Indiana could totally get upset. I mean, it could go down to a four or five in that kind of situation. Absolutely. So he just needs to consistently play at a level worthy of, you know, being a number one or number two draft pick, which he certainly can be.
We're talking to Matt Norlander, college basketball insider for CBSSports.com, also the editor of College Hoops Journal. Last couple of years, we saw Butler's success in the Big Dance. We saw teams like VCU, and you always hear that phrase, the mid-major. Who are the teams out there, obviously with Gonzaga sitting at number two, who are those teams, those mid-majors that can make some noise in the tournament coming up?
Right. Well, I'm going to give you true mid-majors, because while common fans still associate Butler and Gonzaga with mid-majors, they really aren't in terms of their ability to schedule big-time programs, the budgets they work with, how they're able to travel, how they're able to recruit now. Butler and Gonzaga are not mid-major programs. They simply aren't. No one in basketball considers them that. But other under-the-radar teams, Middle Tennessee State is a team that's 25-4 out of the Sun Belt. Now owns one of the longest winning streaks in the country. Just a really good defensive team that should have made the tournament last year but got upset in this league tournament. I would say Akron or Ohio, whoever gets out of the MAC, both of those teams. Ohio made the Sweet 16 last year, has DJ Cooper still. He's a really vital point guard. Akron's got a guy named Zeke Marshall, who's a big man who could play in the NBA one day. Both of those teams capable of winning a game or two in the NCAAs. And then, this isn't a mid-major, but I consider it a sleeper pick. You know, the Mountain West guys has been a really good league this year. Colorado State is coached by Larry Eustace, who actually was at Southern Miss last year, brought that program to only its third NCAA tournament in its history. He got promotion, went to Colorado State. They've gotten even better. And by the way, CSU went to the tournament last year with Tim Miles, who took the Nebraska job. So Eustace comes in. They're awesome. Great rebounding team. Got a big man named Colton Iverson. He's their only big man. I mean, he's 6'10", 6'11", but everyone else is 6'5", or 6'6", and this is the best rebounding team in the country. I do think they have got a potential to get to the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight, but that might be just a sleeper to keep an eye on that not a lot of people have seen, but they're very solid in the Mountain West, which is also a really good league that'll probably send five teams.
Hey, Matt, first I want to thank you and congratulate you on using the term pulsating organism when talking about the barn. That was spectacular.
I'm just glad I said that word and not the other one.
Exactly. Hey, quick question about Indiana State. Do they have to win their conference tournament to get in?
I think so at this point. They do have a quirky resume, and there are a few teams out there with weird resumes. 2 weeks ago, I would have said maybe not. I just think they have too many losses and too many bad losses to overcome. That three-game losing stretch was pretty brutal. And, you know, beating Drake and Evansville, who they finish up their schedule with, it's just not going to be enough. The Valley is going to struggle because Creighton and Wichita State are both in as of right now. But, I mean, Creighton's looked bad. Wichita State has been a little uneven, but they're back on the right track now. I don't think the Valley can send three overall. I just don't see it. I mean, if Indiana State won the tournament, I would think it would just be Creighton, and Wichita State might be on the outside looking in. So, yeah, they have to win the Valley tournament this year.
If you've been listening to this, you know one thing. Matt Norlander.
If you've been listening to this, you got problems. Other than Matt, of course.
This guy knows a thing or two about the college game. I love it. You can you can find out more at CBSSports.com. Also, the editor of College Hoops Journal, and also the president of the Geddy Lee and Neil Peart fan clubs. Jimmy, did you know that?
I did not know that, but I'm a big, big fan of
Matt. We're finding so much out about you. I love it.
Yeah, man, absolutely, dude. It's a pleasure to be on, and yeah, the Rush bump was good. You know, I go on these radio shows sometimes, and they're playing, some garbage modern stuff. I like the Rush. Next time, maybe get a little something off of Hemispheres in there, and we can really rock.
We'll
out.
Do that in March when we talk about
this radio
the
show is garbage free, Matt. No problem.
Hey, appreciate the time, Matt. That. Thanks for your help.
Thank you, guys. Take it easy. Enjoy the rest of your week.
You
see
do
you, Matt.
The same. Matt Norlander, Jimmy, the guy knows a thing about it. You know, a thing or two. He shut me down pretty quick. With the mid-major, VCU Butler, he said, He said, idiot, those are major college programs.
They've played their way out of that mid-major ranking with their performances on the court for the last several years.
Yeah, I don't think you can go to back-to-back national championship games and consider yourself mid-major anymore.
I mean, it's a good point. What about Notre Dame, guys, real quick before we go to break? Do you like Notre Dame in the tourney?
Get there for sure. Minor noise, maybe, I think. But let's losing Martin and still be a competitive team
there
against
something
really
to be
good
said
squads.
For that.
I mean, this is a tough out, but whether they can put four wins together to
Notre
get
Dame,
them, I don't think
they've always been a puzzling team for me under Mike Brady because they're so good at home and then just kind of average everywhere else.
I don't know that you want to draw them, but I wouldn't pick them.
Which reminds me of the tournament. You're going to have to watch it on something, and you can find what you want at H.H. Gregg, the official appliances and electronics retailer of the Colts. They have big savings for every room in your home. See everything at hhgregg.com. We're going to be talking some Butler basketball up next. Michael Lewis will join us, assistant coach for the Butler basketball program. A whole lot more, speaking a lot of college hoops. You're listening to The Last Word here on 1070 The Fan and 107.5.
The Last Word, presented by Xfinity Returns with Jeffrey Gorman, Jimmy Mad Dog Matus, and Matt Taylor from inside the Taco Bell studios.
Welcome back to The Last Word here on 1070 The Fan and 107.5. Jeffrey Gorman here with Jimmy Mad Dog Matus, Matt Taylor. Let's talk to a former Indiana All-Star from Jasper, Michael Lewis, also the assistant basketball coach of the Butler Bulldogs. Played at IU from 97 to 2000. I would love to speak some IU basketball with you, but you know what? We're not going to do that. We're going to talk some Butler basketball with the assistant coach. Michael, thanks for being on with us this afternoon.
Well, thanks for having me.
One of the best to play high school basketball, a great career that you had here. That's for another show. Let's talk about your Butler Bulldogs right now. Coming up tomorrow, big game against Virginia Commonwealth on the road, and also you got to follow that up with at Massachusetts, and I can't wait for the Xavier game. Coach, we saw a report today in the Indy Star that Butler is rumored to be joining the new Catholic League next year. Those would be the private institutions that are leaving the Big East, and I know you can't talk about that specifically due to program policy. So start me off. Tell me how the team is feeling overall right now.
Well, not great, because we just, coming off a loss of the St. Louis here at home that we've been able to sit on all week. I don't think you ever feel good about losing. But as a whole, I think we have to feel pretty good. You know, I think we're heading in the right direction. We're playing in meaningful games here in March, which is what every program in the country wants to do. And we've got a big one tomorrow. And not that it's any bigger than anything else that we've played. It's the next one on the schedule. And I think we're pretty excited to head out there and get started.
Speaking of big games, you have been the big game for a lot of new opponents for Butler. Chore in the A-10, and you guys with your past success, your early season success, you've been the big game for most of the guys you've played against on the road this year.
And I think as a college player, that's got to be exciting. You know, I know when I was at Indiana, whenever we went on the road, and Coach Knight was like a rock star, and we sold out everywhere we went. And it's the same thing, here with Brad and this group and the success that they've had, and going on the road. I think this is our seventh league road game, and we're going to sell out for the seventh time. And I think VCU's doing a blackout and that whole deal. And I think as a player that's got to be exciting. That's what you want to play in. You don't want to go on the road and play in front of 1,800 fans. You want to go on the road and have a target on your back and be the big show in town. And our guys are getting to experience that, and just as they have all year long.
Michael, you mentioned the two losses to St. Louis this season. In those two games, what were some of the common denominators as to why Butler fell short?
Well, the biggest thing is St. Louis is really good.
Yeah.
well coached. Yeah, I mean, they are really good, and obviously Coach Cruz has done a great job, and, you know, that should be a one-way conversation at the end of the year if you're a St. Louis. You know, hey, you know, Coach Cruz, do you want the job? I mean, you've done an outstanding job and taken over under the circumstances, and they're very good. He's obviously led them, and they've got a very veteran and mature group and how they approach things. And, you know, they're a good basketball team. You know, they're right there with the Indianas and Gonzagas that we've played, and I think they've got a chance to make a run in March. So that's probably the biggest thing. When you look at our team, they're the only team that we've lost to with our full team since Maui. And I think that's something that, you know, we need to realize as a team that when we're at full strength, we've got a chance to be pretty good.
We're talking to Michael Lewis, assistant basketball coach of the Butler Bulldogs. Brad Stevens and his staff have shown, give them a big game, they're going to show up for it. We've seen that in the tournament. We saw that against North Carolina, IU earlier in the year. Talk about Brad Stevens a little bit. He reminds me of a former coach here at the Colts, Tony Dungy. He's never too high. He's never too low, but I tell you what, he gets the most out of these players, and they're not always the five-star recruits across the nation. Talk about your experience with the head coach.
Well, I've known Brad for a long time. We played AAU basketball, I think, when we were about 13 years old. It's been neat, you know, from afar to kind of watch him, you know, when he got the job and what he was able to do with the program and the success that he's had. And now being a part of the program and seeing it every day, you know, he's special. There's no question about it. He's got a great rapport with our guys, with the people on campus. He reads our team very well. He always seems to know the right buttons to push. And like you said, he's never too high, never too low after wins or losses, but more importantly throughout the course of a game. You know, there's so many different things that happen throughout the course of a game that you can get excited about or down about, and he's not that way. You know, I think our guys can always look over the sideline, and you know, you have his presence over there, and it's very calming for our guys. Whenever they get rattled a little bit, they just glance over there, and you can kind of see them just kind of take it in and realize that it's, you know, they move on to the next play. And he's always talking about staying the course, and it's the journey and the process, and it's not each game, and I think our guys really buy into that.
Michael, I've been fortunate enough to get out to Hinkle a couple of times this year, and I really like watching the communication between you, your coaching staff, and your players, because it's one thing to give them a message, it's another thing for them to get on the floor and carry that out. Talk a little bit about your players and the mindset that they have, because you guys really seem to be as cohesive a group as there is in the country.
Well, that's our guys. You know, that's these players. They're a great group of individuals that are high achievers. And I think that's something that we try to focus on in recruiting is go after the guys that want to achieve at a high level regardless of what they're doing. And they really make it easy for us, because you can present them with a scouting report, you can make suggestions, and they go out and they try to do it exactly how you told them to do it. You know, it's not that way everywhere, and it's a credit to the guys in the locker room, and it's a credit to Brad, because he's the way that he interacts with them, and you know, the success that he has. They truly believe if he says to do something that it's going to work. Obviously, more times than not, it has. But it's really a credit to the players, because they're the ones that go out there and make the plays, and they make it enjoyable for us to come in here and coach them.
Michael, how do you think Rodney Clark is coming along as he continues to develop into a point guard that wants to distribute the ball, but at the same time, you as a coaching staff, I'm sure you're always wanting him to look for a shot as well.
Well, I think you guys have been to some games. You feel pretty good when it leaves his hand.
No doubt. Close to automatic.
Feel pretty good when he walks on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty comforting knowing that he's got the ball in his hands. But I think Rodney's a good basketball player. I think the whole, you know, turning him into a point guard or whatnot has kind of gotten blown out of proportion. He's a basketball player, and we rely on him to do a ton for this team. You know, I know I've read some things that people have talked about, some of his turnovers. We want him to be aggressive. When he has the ball, he demands so much attention from the other team that he not only can create for himself but for others, and we need him to continue to be ultra aggressive in everything that he does with and without the basketball. You know, he's got to have that mindset, and I think, you know, like I say, we depend on him to do so much that people forget that he's getting 17 or 18 points a game on a team that's won 22 games. He's playing at a pretty high level.
I've got one quick question to get in before we turn you loose. How much fun are you having? You've made this decision, and are you truly enjoying what it is you're doing?
Absolutely. You know, I've been fortunate to be around basketball my whole life, and it's probably good that I'm not smarter, because I absolutely love what I'm doing. You know, the guys on the staff, not only Brad, but Darnell and Terry and Matthew Graves, they're great to work with. We have a great administration and president that cares about what we're doing and supports us in everything that we do. And then the players, you know, they make it fun every day to come in here and go to work. You know, you enjoy spending the extra hours watching the film, trying to help them, because they're such great guys. And then obviously I enjoy getting out on the road and recruiting. I'm not sure if I wasn't coaching what else I'd be doing, and really nothing has ever crossed my plate that I would even consider, because this is having a blast. I'm having a blast doing this, and my wife tells me all the time that she wishes she could have as much fun doing her job as I do doing mine.
Well, we're glad for you, yeah, man. We're happy for you.
And you do it well, for sure. Michael Lewis, assistant coach over at Butler. Before we cut you loose officially now, VCU tomorrow, it's going to be a raucous environment. They're going to be pressing the whole game. What's it going to take for the Bulldogs to get a victory?
Well, we're going to have to go in there and first take care of the basketball. I think, you know, especially on the road, sometimes you can get caught up in all the havoc. And we're just going to have to be able to control our emotions, just kind of go through each possession. I know it's a lot of coach speak here, but, you know, we got to be able to keep the floor spread, make them guard, not make it easy for them to get into trap situations and get us sped up. Once we get into half court, we have to be extremely aggressive and attack. And then obviously on the defensive end, you're going to have to find some ways to slow them down. This is one of those games that we've been fortunate, you know, this year to play in several of these, that this is what you go to college for. This is what you play college basketball for at a program such as Butler or VCU, and it should be really exciting.
Michael Lewis, Butler basketball assistant coach. Really quick, who wins in a game of horse, you or Coach Stevens?
Oh, me and Coach Stevens are not close. I thought you were going to ask about Rodney Clark or somebody there for a second.
Well, I know Brad can still spin it. He'll tell you that too, but no-brainer, right, you?
Oh, it's me, but the good thing about playing with Brad is I know neither one of us are going to move spots very often. You know, we're starting to get up there a little bit in age, and if we can just stand in one spot and shoot, we'll be okay.
You're talking my kind of game there. Michael Lewis, assistant basketball coach at Butler. Best of luck against VCU tomorrow and against UMass and Xavier. Go win that one. We'll see you in the A-10 tournament and the NC2A tournament. Best of luck, Coach.
We appreciate it. Anytime.
All right. Michael Lewis joins us. Fellas, I got to ask a question. He talked about a fellow who I know about him, but I don't know much about the background. So fun to watch is Rodney Clark. Did he come from Nebraska? Was he a transfer? Something like that. And this guy can absolutely fill it. How'd Butler end up with him?
Rodney Clark was his part of the country's Steve Alford, Damon Bailey, those names. He was that guy. Guys would crowd high school gyms to watch this guy fill
right?
it up. He's been a shooter. I think it was Arkansas
where
he went, and then had one more year left where he could go. He's one of these guys moved, changing coaches. Switched over, came to Butler, and Butler obviously very lucky and fortunate to get him.
When he shoots it, you're surprised when it doesn't go in. That's how close to automatic he is.
Okay, I got one for you. Who wins in the game of horse between him and Jordy Halls?
That's a good question, boys.
And the thing is, they both have range, dog. They both have incredible range.
Like to see it. Don't know. You know what? That game could go on for days.
Yeah, they just don't miss. Hey, I enjoyed that. He's a good guy, Michael Lewis, and hopefully we talk to him in the future. And he's one of those guys under Coach Stevens. You never know. He could be running his own program soon. Hey, it's the last word. We're talking college hoops, a little bit of football, and a whole lot more. You're listening to us on 1070 The Fan and 107.5. I'm Jeffrey Gorman. Jimmy Mad Dog Matus. Matt Taylor. We're coming back with a Friday. Help me out here,
the
Taylor.
The front office fight.
The front office fight.
On Friday.
On Friday. I got that part in. Don't go anywhere. There's a reigning champion. He could get knocked off. Whole lot more right after this.
Hokies ringing that bell. I can't concentrate.
It's over, Rock.
Now that it's over, just give me something to drink.
Lace them up and slug some last-minute water. It's time for the front office fight on The Last Word. Now let's go inside the Taco Bell ring with Jeffrey Gorman, Jimmy Mad Dog Matus, and Matt Taylor.
This is The Last Word here on 1070 The Fan, 107.5. Time now for the Forum Credit Union front office fight. We have a new gentleman in studio who's going to try and knock off Brian Healy. Brad Berry is part of the Colts front office sales staff, and little-known fact, former general manager of your Indianapolis Ice, would it be?
Yes, it was the Indianapolis Ice at that time.
I don't know. There's been a lot of different teams in this minor league hockey career of the Indianapolis. So I just thought, you know, I pulled it out there. Who else they used to be? The Wheels?
Racers. Checkers. Now the Indiana Ice.
Anyway, I know you'll be at Bankers Life tomorrow to pack the house for the Ice. Anyway, here's your first question. Best of luck. Much was made last weekend about Manti Te'o taking the podium at the Combine and explaining how he dealt with NFL executives about the old catfish hoax. Te'o finished second last year in the Heisman voting. Who was the last player from Notre Dame to win the Heisman Trophy?
Tim Brown?
The college
way to say it with confidence.
The college basketball season is winding down. Only a handful of regular season games remain. Where is the NCAA Men's Final Four being held this year?
New Orleans, I think.
The San Francisco 49ers are involved in talks to trade quarterback Alex Smith and believe they're going to be able to make a deal soon. Which college did Alex Smith attend?
I think it was Fresno State.
The IHSAA Girls Basketball State Finals are tomorrow in Terre Haute. Championships in four different classes are up for grabs. Name the two teams playing in the 4A title game.
Bedford, North Lawrence, and I don't have any idea who the second one is.
IU takes on Iowa tomorrow night in Bloomington. The Hoosiers beat the Hawkeyes 69-65 on New Year's Eve to open up the Big Ten schedule. Who is the head coach for the Iowa Hawkeyes?
Probably name the last three that got fired, but I can't name the current one. Sorry, guys.
All right.
Well, you weren't real good at this, Brad. I'm here to tell you.
Brad, I thought you'd do
it. There's
a lot
of X's
better
on your paper, brother.
Well, disappointment's something I'm used to.
You came out of the gates really good, and that's where you finished.
Brad, best of luck. Brian Healy's coming in next. You're going to try and knock him off with your one answer correct, and we'll see how we do. All right, Brad, appreciate the time. Former GM of your Indianapolis Ice, now part of the Colts' front office sales force. He's done it all. Here we go. Round two. Brian Healy.
Back again. Week three.
2 weeks in a row winner. Best of luck, big fella, because they get tougher. Who was the last player from Notre Dame to win the Heisman?
Move on.
The Rocket.
Rocket Ismael. The college basketball season is winding down. Only a handful of regular season games remain till the NCAA tournament. Where is the NCAA Men's Final Four being held this year?
No clue.
Wow.
The 49ers are involved in talks to trade quarterback Alex Smith to the Kansas City Chiefs. It's as good as done, according to sources. Which college did Alex Smith attend?
Utah. They gave up two second-round picks.
The IHSAA Girls Basketball State Finals are tomorrow in Terre Haute. Name the two teams playing in the 4A title game.
Absolutely no idea.
IU takes on Iowa.
You better get this one now.
Iowa takes on Iowa tomorrow night in Bloomington. Who is the head basketball coach for the Iowa Hawkeyes?
Again, I have no clue. This could be my Dan week.
We're going to have to do the bonus question because they both went 1 for 5.
Okay,
the best of the worst.
Time now for the bonus question. How many passes did Andrew Luck complete last year?
389.
389 out of the blue with that guess.
Not a bad guess. Brad Berry, time now for your bonus question to find out who wins this week's Forum Credit Union front office fight. How many passes did Andrew Luck complete last year?
534.
Folks, I can tell you this much right now. Brian Healy moves on.
Brian Healy moves on because he only missed it by 50.
Congratulations, Brian Healy. And we have some fine parting gifts for you, Brad Berry. This was the Forum Credit Union front office fight.
By the way, final answers. Tim Brown was the last Notre Dame Heisman Trophy winner. Georgia is the Final Four site this year. Atlanta, Georgia, I should say. Alex Smith went to Utah. Bedford North Lawrence takes on Fort Wayne Southside in the 4A final tomorrow. And Fran McCaffrey, the head coach of the Iowa Hawkeyes.
You guys should have known that. Hey, it's the
Brian, you'll be back next
front
week.
Office fight. Brian Healy, a three-time champion.
Four-peat, baby.
Thanks for your help. Don't go anywhere because we are clocking out on the last word right after this on 1070 The Fan at 107.5.
Slay.
Steve Driver to shove that sweatshop right up his
take this job and shut.
Nothing matters but the weekend, weekend.
It's almost 7 on a Friday. This working week is over, baby. Time to clock out on The Last Word, presented by Xfinity. From the Taco Bell studio, here's Jeffrey Gorman, Jimmy Mad Dog Matus, and Matt Taylor.
Welcome back to The Last Word here on 1070 The Fan, 107.5. Guys, this does not mean you. Ladies, I'm talking to you. Colts cheerleader auditions. First night, March the 23rd. Go to Colts.com/auditions for more information, including some additional dates and helpful tips. Maybe you'll be cheering on the Colts at Lucas Oil Stadium. Give it a go, boys. I tell you what, time to be clocking out. I love the show right now, talking a lot of college basketball. Time to clock out, but let's remember when a little bit. Let's slow it down a little bit.
All right.
Okay, this date in history, give me the year. Mickey Mantle announced his retirement from Major League Baseball.
I'm a giant baseball fan. That was 1969.
Dog?
I'm not going to argue with that.
I'll give it both to you. Here we go. Jim Morrison of the Doors arrested and charged with, I know this too well, lewd behavior, public drunkenness. Jimmy, if you do it once, it sticks with you your whole life. What year was that Morrison did that in Miami?
1968.
Close.
Ooh, I have no idea.
Do you know who Jim Morrison is?
He's lead singer of the Doors. Okay. I've seen his stuff in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
That was good. 1969.
69.
Both 69.
Yeah. Hey, now known for his directorship, I'll call it, rather than being on Happy Days, Ron Howard. How old does he turn? You remember him from Happy Days.
Well,
so
of
best.
Course. Yeah. Ronnie Howard's probably got to be close to 60. I'm 55. Opie's older than me. I'll say 59.
Great call, 59.
See,
on the money.
You
wouldn't remember this, but when Fonzie jumped the cars at Arnold's, do you remember
right.
that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And the girl was drumming to bring him in, and she had a tear in her eye.
That Pinky Tescadero.
Arnold was Nuriaki Pat Morita, who was also known for his Karate Kid days.
Why did Fonzie always want to jump something?
I don't know. He was the Fonzie. Okay, boys, standings after 5 weeks, and let it ride.
It's prediction time. Throw the dice, boys, and let it ride.
Dog, you're 23-11. Matey, you're 23-11. I'm picking up the rear at 22-12. I went 5-1 last week.
5-1 a week ago.
I know my stuff. Marquee High School matchup of the week, the 4A Girls High School Basketball Championship. Bedford North Lawrence versus Fort Wayne South. Jimmy, who you got?
I know nothing about Fort Wayne South, but Bedford North Lawrence beat up on the Roncalli Rebels last week. I'm going with BNL.
This is actually a rematch of a game they played earlier in the season, and BNL beat Fort Wayne South by 24 points.
Oh, jeez.
So I'm going with the Stars.
You know what? I am pulling out the shocker, the Hoosiers 2, they like to call this. Hoosiers 2. I'm taking Fort Wayne South against the tough BNL squad. Okay.
So following up a 5-1 with a 1-5? Is that your plan?
Come on, boys.
Good plan. You never know.
Hey,
all right,
this
go
is
ahead.
For all the marbles.
Okay.
Okay, last night, loss to L.A., the Pacers tonight at the Raptors in Toronto. Who you boys got?
The Raptors play the Pacers tough.
They always do.
But the Pacers are ticked off. So I'm going with the Pacers.
And Granger's starting to find his rhythm, too.
Really?
So I'm going to go with the Pacers on the road.
All right, I'll take the Pacers, too. All right. All right, how about this one? We talked to him earlier. Michael Lewis talked about the Butler Bulldogs traveling on the road, taking on number 24 VCU tomorrow at noon. Jimmy, who you got?
Butler.
I'll take Butler, too.
I will take VCU in the blackout, I think is what they're calling tomorrow. Give me VCU at home. Notre Dame, number 25, taking on 17. Marquette at home. That's Saturday, 2 p.m. Jimmy.
Marquette is finding their stride. I'm going with Marquette.
And Notre Dame's just not good on the road. Marquette.
Marquette it is here. That's a hat trick around the board. Iowa at number one, Indiana, Saturday, 7:30. And is all I can say about this one.
IU needs two more wins to claim at least a share of the Big Ten title. They'll get one of those wins tomorrow.
Hoosiers.
Number one, Indiana.
Hoosiers by 20, at
least. Yeah, I was going to say. They're ticked off. Hoosiers by 30, possibly. I'm taking the Hoosiers. Purdue on the road. They're going to Madison. They're taking on the Badgers of Wisconsin Sunday, 1 p.m.
And Wisconsin is fighting to have a share of the Big Ten championship, and they will not stumble at home against the Boilers. Wisconsin will win that one.
It's hard to fathom Wisconsin is just good at basketball because you look at their roster and you're thinking, how have they won a game in the Big Ten? But they're guided by Bo Ryan. They play a unique style, and I think there's no chance they lose to Purdue at home.
They're consistent, and they don't make mistakes.
Give me the Badgers as well, so we agree across the board there. I'll start with my
weekend plans, public drunkenness, and lewd behavior. That's what I'm up to. How about you,
Jim? The Jim Morrison technique.
That's just Sunday morning for me. But other than that, I'm going to Meijer.
Are you?
I am. You can save more with them. Perks digital coupons from Meijer. Like, did you know that? Clip online, redeem in store. Visit mperks.meijer.com to sign up. Experience the savings. Experience the difference. Meijer. I will spend most of my weekend out in the backyard picking up after my dog, Maggie.
Okay. It's about 30 degrees out there this weekend, too. So wear a sweatshirt, will you?
That's one way to go. I'll spend my Saturday in beautiful Terre Haute, Indiana for girls' basketball state finals tomorrow.
Folks, coming up, we got Pacers pregame. This is the last word for Jimmy Mad Dog Matus, Matt Taylor. I'm Jeffrey Gorman. We do it every week, same time, same channel. Thanks to our friends at 1070 The Fan and 107.5. Right here, we're going to talk to you next week.